Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, August 7th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXVIII, the first paragraph that begins with "We Believe." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Pam M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Martha Z., will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text today are Julie E. B., Brandy M., and Jordan L. The share ID for Thursday, August 6th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,115. That's 15115. And for this morning's Monday, August 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 15,119, 15119. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Pam.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Looking forward to the meeting, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam M. And Martha Z., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to read.
And thank you, Martha Z. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page XXVIII, the first paragraph that begins with "We believe," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So good morning, Julie E.B. If you could get us started, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. We believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol in these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, and that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up upon them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. Wow, what a paragraph. The action of the alcohol. An action is to have for something to have effect, for it to work on me. And I thought it was working for me, but for me it was a manifestation of an allergy. There are certain foods, ingredients, and behaviors that create a phenomenon of craving for me, that create an intense craving and set off trains of circumstances that are beyond all rational thought. And this is different. I see other people that can start and stop, but I am not average in this way. And accepting that, it at last became a relief. For some people, let's run 2 more miles, let's walk 2 more miles. That's something that a normal person might say. But when my spouse said that to me, I said, the miracle today is I can do exactly what I am intending to do, nothing more, nothing less. If I heard a lot of newcomers coming on the line today, and if you had told me that I would live my life today and yesterday and for a few years before that without craving for food, for different kinds of things that I would ingest, without the feeling of emptiness also in my gut in other periods of my life, without the feeling of feeling faint and falling over, if you had told me that I would have any of those and not just want more and more and more, I would have told you you're crazy, but this book works. Once I identify this allergy and know I can't safely use it, I can't sneak it in here, there, or anywhere else. People ask me sometimes, don't you ever want to cheat? And as long as I take care of my true craving, which is for a higher power that can actually solve problems in my life, then so far, living on this spiritual basis, everything is different. I want to close with a story I heard about this paragraph a couple of years ago. One of our fellows shared that the problems pile up on them, become astonishingly difficult to solve. This is how I used to live. And someone compared it to going through the drive-thru, crumpling up the bag, and throwing it in the back seat. And that's how all my problems used to be. That's how all my bags and boxes used to be. Just piled up to such a level I didn't see any way to solve them, except I tried myself and it didn't work. So I turn to a power and I say I'm not God, and I get a sponsor, and I try and live in line with the universe and a loving, kind, higher power today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thanks for getting us started, Julie E.B. Okay, we're on page XXVIII, the first paragraph, we believe. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Janice
M. M.
Roz
was that
G.
Man? Pam
okay,
M.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Okay, did I hear Janice P.M.?
Yes, you did.
Devora S.
Okay, and I heard Roz G., and I heard Pam M., and I heard Devora S. I'm sure there are some people between Pam and Janice, though.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. I can take one more.
Melanie C.
Right. Melanie C. Okay. So let's stop there. I have Janice PM, Roz G, Pam M, Devora S, Tamara C, and Melanie C. So go ahead, please, Janice PM. Good morning. And Janice, star one to unmute, please.
Hey, I'm unmuted now. I'm sorry. Yes, good morning and thank you, and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice M., and I'm a recovered, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This is a dynamic paragraph. It starts out with, we believe. We believe. Well, let me tell you about me. I didn't want to believe. I didn't want to believe that my body was so different from others, because that's why I kept trying to make it different. And they believed, the pioneers, because they seemingly were recovered. They thought they were seemingly hopeless, but they were recovered from a seemingly hopeless body, and mind. Okay, so I guess he's talking here strictly about the body and anything that leaves out the body, the allergy. You can't, it's impossible, because I could go to church and I can have certain obsessions, you know, and God can take it away. But if I still have this block, which is my foods that I'm allergic to, it's not going to work. And believe you me, I've tried. You know, I cannot eat my trigger foods, my allergic foods. That's what he called it. You know, years before doctor's opinion came into being, they all thought it was a, you know, like a, they were weak moral people. And, yeah, they would, it didn't work, because they would put down the drink and then they, you know, would still go out. So, I mean, it had nothing to do. So doctor opinion, by contrast, he didn't call it the moral. He called it a kind of allergy. And that was a radical shift in the people's thinking at the time. And what a miracle that today that I know, and those of us that have recovered know, K-N-O-W, know that I have this allergy, whether I like it or not, and I'm bodily different. because I'd have to be born all over again in order to get another body that maybe I wouldn't be allergic to, or maybe I still would have the allergy. We can change the body by losing weight and everything, but I can't change the allergy. Once I'm a compulsive overeater, I will always have that abnormal reaction to certain foods, to certain beverages, to certain substances of any kind, to certain behaviors. Therefore, I am powerless over this body's reaction. No matter how long or how little I eat or whatever it is, I am still powerless over that overpowering urge once I get that substance in my system. And that's what he calls the allergy. I can't grow a new body and have no allergy in it. I mean, that's not up to me anyway. So that's the first reliance that I have to and believe in my heart. Yes, that's good. I'm glad you timed me because I am finished. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. Mm-hmm. Okay, good morning, Roz G. You're up next, followed by Pam M.
Good morning. I'm walking, but I'm going to walk in a spot where it's a little quieter and stop. My name is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And boy, is this big book true about everything, and for me today, about how this is a progressive disease. Because when I was a kid and I ate Fritos corn chips and chocolate, my tongue didn't swell up, and I didn't hyperventilate. But a couple of last relapses ago, I discovered those things. So yes, this is a progressive disease, and as my body grows, I have different reactions, and they get worse. But I'd like to focus in on the problems pile up and become difficult to solve. And mine have to do with my compulsive over-exercising. Okay, I'm a recovered compulsive over-exerciser because I want to make up for what I eat. I don't want to eat a food plan like a sane person. I want to eat what I want to eat, and then I want to exercise it all off. So I had two surgeries. One was on my left foot for plantar fasciitis, for jogging, continuous jogging, beating my feet on the pavement to make up for what I ate, and eventually getting plantar fasciitis. And an x-ray tech told me once that obesity was a problem. A lot of people with obesity had that. And for her to call me obese I was highly insulted. Let me tell you, I'm a very sensitive person. And so they gave me these foot inserts, and that was a problem. And then that didn't work. And then they gave me this boot to sleep in at night so that I would keep my foot slanted all night long. Because when you get up in the morning and you walk on that sucker, it hurts like hell. So I slept in this terribly uncomfortable boot. That didn't work. And so finally the doctor said, let's do surgery. So I did the surgery. Okay. So then with the shoulder, that's a problem. I began to lift weights, and I was lifting and lifting. And then it started to hurt. So I started to get cortisone shots. And then every 6 months, my shoulder would start to hurt again. And the doctors would tell me, don't lift weights above your shoulders. Don't punch the bag so hard. Did I listen? No. And so then the shots stopped working. And this doctor, I think I had a moment of clarity when this one doctor said to me, if you keep getting these shots, you're only masking the problem. You're not fixing it. We've got to go in and fix it. So I had shoulder surgery and proceeded to lift weights after that. Finally, I had a moment of clarity, and I heard other people talking about compulsive exercise bulimics, and I identified with that. And I attend a bulimic meeting weekly now. So, yes, I do identify with problems being difficult to solve. And when I have a food plan and eat abstinence food, I don't have those problems. But it sure takes a lot of prayer and work and self-sacrifice to be able to. Thank you. And I'll wrap up by saying to be able to live that way, and thank God I live that way today. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Good morning, Pam M. You're up, followed by Deborah S.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy O, and please do time me. Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. And I just want to welcome everyone who is new and boy, did you tune in at the right time if you're new. You're just starting to get the very beginnings of this message, this incredibly powerful message in the big book that has healed my life, and I've tried everything. I want to hone in on this one phrase: these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. You know, the recovery comes from the spiritual experience and maintaining our relationship with our higher power. But we can't get that spiritual experience until we have a clean and clear mind and we get sober and stay sober and stop getting drunk on the food. When I first came to OA and I heard that phrase, these alcoholic types can never safely use alcohol in any form, I went, yeah, but I have to eat. And yes, you do have to eat. And alcoholics also have to drink. They need to drink water and orange juice and whatever, you know, maybe they drink coffee or tea. But they cannot drink alcohol. And they also cannot drink cough syrup in order to, you know, get their fix. So for me, it was learning what these foods are that I cannot have. And so we do need to do a little bit of research. It's important to sit down and write out everything we've ever craved, everything we've ever binged on, and really look at what are those key ingredients. For most people, it's going to be about the same five ingredients again and again and again. Maybe it might be less, it might be no more for you. But this is the time when we, in the process, when we begin to do this self-inquiry. What am I craving? What are my alcoholic foods? What makes me go stir crazy? What do I go to grab when I'm feeling unsettled? When I'm feeling happy? When I'm feeling sad? What is it that I can't stop eating? And start to get really honest. And it's a hard process because a lot of the times that's what we're eating. That's what we're living on. And we have to completely reform our plan of eating. And for most of us, when I started, I didn't have a plan of eating. I saw food, I ate it. I walked past food, I ate it. Yes, thank you. And we can recover. And this is where we form a plan of eating and a statement of abstinence. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Pam M. Okay, Deborah S., you're up next, followed by Tamara C. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you, moderator, and everyone on the line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And again, like everybody's been sharing, these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed the habit and confidence and reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And, you know, I never knew, you know, that I had a problem with certain substances. All I knew is that I was obese. I couldn't stop eating. I wish I could stop eating, but once I started, I couldn't stop. And I remember years ago, we're talking about 35 years ago, I remember being at a family function and a cousin of mine took from the platter of fancy cookies for half of a cookie and ate it and put the other half back. And all my...
Roz, your voice is really faint. Or Devorah, sorry. And now we seem to have lost you. So, Tamara C., you want to go ahead and share?
Good morning. This is Tamara C. from California. Let's see. It says the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics. And so I asked myself, what's the action of my alcoholic ingredients on me? And the first action is Just for a few seconds of a feeling of ease and comfort, like everything is okay. And that doesn't happen for a normal eater. They get nutrition, they feel full, they say, oh, that tastes good, but they don't get that feeling of everything's okay. And so that's the first action. And then the second action is a craving beyond all mental control, that I just want more and more and more. And the more I eat, the more I want. So that's the action on me. And and this action is a manifestation. It's evidence that I have an allergy. I have an abnormally high sensitivity to certain substances. And so that was really hard for me to accept, that I am not normal. I can never safely use my addictive substances and behaviors in any form at all. And at first that seemed just cruel and unbearable. How can I live with that? That's terrible that I can never, never eat that again. But I don't feel that way today. Today I feel freedom, because first I addressed this allergy by getting those substances out of my system and not picking them up. And then I addressed the second part of my disease, the main part, which is in my mind. I worked the steps and I live in the steps, and now I don't want those substances. And so it doesn't feel cruel and unbearable. It just feels free. I don't even have to fight those foods. I don't have to think about it. Oh, should I eat this? Shouldn't I eat it? How much should I eat? I just know, oh, I have an allergy to those. I don't have to eat those. And I did lose my self-confidence and self-reliance in my disease and my pain, my despair. And that was a gift. That's how I got ready to let go of any idea that I could manage my problems if I just try harder. And so finally I was at step one, and I was ready to concede to my innermost self that my powerlessness was just going to get worse and worse. And so then I was ready to put my food down and get into the solution. And I'm grateful for that today. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you so much, Tamara C. Okay, before we take Melanie, I'm just a reminder that we're on page.
Hi, it's Devorah S. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, hold on one second, Devorah. Hold on. Okay, just a reminder, we're on page XXVIII, the first paragraph, we believe. And I'm going to take Melanie C. and then Devorah, I'll take you in the next lineup. You can have a couple more minutes to share. So go ahead, please, Melanie C.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Oregon. Grateful to be here. Good morning, Kathleen, and everyone that's here in service, and all the fellows. I like saying we believe, and so suggested a few years ago, and this is what the we believe is, the doctors that had experience with lots and lots and lots of alcoholics in Towns Hospital, and they were able to distinguish a classification one from another. There was a classification that they ripped the booze out of their system, however they were doing that in that particular hospital. Pat them on the head, hand them another bag, escorted them out the front door, and they never heard from them again. They just got it out, and that was it. And then there was this other classification that they have decided to call chronic, because there was a phenomenon happening in them. If they could do better, they would do better. And they could not, and they were able to finally see beyond all of the things that perhaps were influencing their opinion before, that they wouldn't and couldn't. There was something happening that they were able to connect the dots. In goes the alcohol, this thing happens, and they're going on to explain it just exactly what it is that happens in this type of allergic reaction, because we understand that it's not going to come up as a red bumpy rash or anaphylactic shock. It's going to be something else, and so we're going to try to really hone in on what this type has and how it manifests itself, and then be able to categorize this in a place, in a way that it needs a very, very specific treatment. And the very, very specific treatment and limitations at the hospital was that they were able to take the booze out, And then something else needed to sweep in to address where the disease lies, which is in the mind, the central operating system of my skull, the thinking. And what this particular paragraph shows us is that we'll read about a little bit later on in XXIX is that there's this vicious cycle that happens over and over and over again if there is not an interruption with a spiritual transformation, which we call here and utilize here as requirements of the 12 steps on the brain. I didn't pick up and eat because of food. I did not pick up and eat because of emotions. I did not pick up over any other reasons other than I am an addict and I have an allergic reaction and it's a physiological response to key ingredients that I'm using. And when somebody taught me how to find those key ingredients and I didn't use them 6th on the ingredients label, 20th on the ingredients label, because somebody has an allergy to shellfish is not going to have it, you know, somewhere mixed in within their casserole because it's a smaller amount. I had to abstain from it all the way, just like Bill did. And when I found that out and got a true treatment, I had been set free. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Okay, we are on page XXVIII, the first paragraph, we believe. I'm going to take some more names, and although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina J.
I heard Christina J.
Jackie M.
Jackie M. And who came in after Nadia Jackie?
Brandy M.
Was that Sandy M?
Brandy M.
Brandy M.
Patty D.
And I got Nadia and Patty D.
Jody E.
Jody E. Okay, so Devorah, I have you on the top here. If you could just do your last minute and a half, I think you're at. And then I have Christina J, I believe, Jackie M, Brandy M, Nadia B, Patty D, and Jody E. And hopefully we will get to all of you. So go ahead, Devorah, if you want to finish your share.
Thank you so much. So it's Devorah again, and I just want to say, you know, that night where I saw my cousin took a half a cookie and put the rest back, all I did was obsess over that cookie. And I couldn't understand why I had to finish every bag and every box. I couldn't put it down until I came into this program 21 years ago and read the doctor's opinion, and it, like, hit me like a ton of... So I'm not... It's not a moral issue. It's because I have an allergy. You know, I have an allergy to sugar and flour and to large quantities as well. And, you know, what a miracle that this doctor brought this to light. And, you know, because this is the basis of the program here, to put down the allergic items and be able to grow spiritually, you know, so that the obsession can be lifted. And thank you, God, I can say the allergy has, you know, the allergy is in its place. You know, thank God I'm abstaining from these foods and the obsession has been lifted. I am living a free life today without these substances, and I'm living life so I can focus on developing, like I said, a relationship with my higher power, and what a freedom that is. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devorah. Okay, Christina J., good morning. You're up, followed by Jackie M.
Good morning. Christina J. from the state of Washington. And wow, we are in the heat of this doctor's opinion now. We're getting in, and I love it. Problems became astonishingly difficult to solve. I was thinking this morning in my walk that I have lived probably 60 years in a stew within myself, a restless, irritable, discontented, nervous disposition stew. And I haven't looked at any of that. Well, I have now that I've been in program, but went running by the seat of my pants, staying distracted with crazy life stuff, career stuff. And then when it got too much and I couldn't figure things out and things weren't going my way, back into the food I went. And, you know, the diets and all that, really, I never could understand why I couldn't stay on a diet and get down to the, you know, I white-knuckled the diets and I white-knuckled life is what I'm trying to say here. And I don't have to white-knuckle anymore. It's very uncomfortable to white-knuckle. And besides, you know what? I've lost my ability to white-knuckle. The last few times I got into the food, I couldn't white-knuckle. I had gone to, well, I'll tell you about one time, which really shocked me. I was running an errand for my boss, and it was a dangerous day for me to be running an errand because I was supposedly in a recovered state, but I was restless, irritable, discontent, didn't feel well, and had been using another substance, which is a gateway drug for me, which some of you understand, which is coffee, and I didn't realize it was a strong gateway drug for me at that time. And I thought, well, I'm going to stop by the drugstore. Here's the thought, you know, like Jim and the whiskey and the milk. I'm going to stop by the drugstore and get one of those sugar-free candy bars. These allergic types can never use alcohol in any form at all, didn't come to my mind. I can have one. It won't do anything. I got two. They were sitting on the seat of my car. I took one bite, and I looked over them at them in horror and also in vicarious pleasure and said, that's not going to be enough. And I went right to the store, and I loaded up on everything sugar I could get. That's it. It just took one short moment. I cannot break this. I've lost my self-confidence, lowercase self. I can't do this anymore by myself. Their reliance upon things human. Yeah, I lost that. Because, first of all, I like to isolate and do all that by myself. But that's not what this program is about. I have fellows. I have this program. I have learned that I cannot take one bite. The one bite BS is over for me. It doesn't work. I've lost my ability to white knuckle. So I have got this allergy, and I know it. Step one, I'm powerless over this food, and my life is unmanageable. The problems become astonishingly difficult to solve. But I have this program and these steps that's a way of living that can get me through all of my emotional discomfort and get me to the other side, the sunlight of the spirit. I've tasted it before. I'm on my way to taste it again. And I just love all you guys, and I'm so grateful for your experience, strength, and hope. It keeps me going every day. It's like my morning church service. God bless everyone. I'll pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Good morning, Jackie M. You're up next, followed by Brandy M. Jackie, star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Jackie M. from Michigan, and thank you all for your service. I just wanted, it feels so cool to actually be able to feel like I can share since we're the beginning. And I have spoken with several of you and tried to go around and did not want to admit that I was a compulsive overeater. I figured, you know, I can be different. I'm different. I can eat these things outside of the house and I can have one and I can stop. You know what? I can't. And I can't eat the stuff outside of the house, especially certain things that start with a P and end with an A and are so yummy, yummy, yummy. And I was not going to give up in any way, shape, or form. And I am. And it's because of this program. It's because of the meetings I'm going to on Monday and Thursday nights. And the ice with the Ben and Jerry, OMG, no more. I hit rock bottom, and I am so thankful to you guys for listening to me, taking my calls, and helping me when I was giving you my BS and thinking, you know, I'm being completely honest. I am. I can eat outside the house, not inside the house. I wasn't. I was BSing me. And with that, I will pass, and thank you so much for everything that everybody does. I love you all, and with that, I'll pass. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jackie M. Okay, Brandy M., you are up, followed by Nadia B. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. This paragraph, it explains me to a T and why I could never get it, because I didn't believe that I had the allergy. I thought that this was a real hoax, that, you know, everyone told me if I just eat in moderation, if I just, you know, try different diets, or if I just, you know, do mindful eating or whatever, that I'll be able to lose the weight, then my life would be great, because as soon as the weight off, life is great, which I know today is a total lie. But what I had to, like, believe in my heart of heart and know is that I'm powerless. I'm powerless over these certain foods that cause me to crave more. You know, when I eat chocolate, or when I eat, you know, my binge foods, chocolate was my favorite. The manifestation of the allergy, you know, it makes my it doesn't satisfy me. It intensifies my craving to want more. And I had to go out and try that a lot of times. And, you know, towards the end of my relapse, I could see it right away where I would take something in, it would give me like a sense of peace. And then it was like, I really did feel like the drug addict. I remember saying to people, like, I know what, you know, a drug addict feels like now with food, because I would put it in and then I would go and I would be like, it felt so good. And then I'd fall and then I'd need more. And, you know, and I wasn't able to stop. And, you know, I had to accept that I was a real chronic compulsive eater, because that meant that I had the manifestation of the allergy and the obsession of the mind. And it was like, once I saw it time and time and time again, and I hope it doesn't take you long as long as it took me, that I had to give up. I had to accept that this is with me, and I needed to put down all of the food and then work the steps. But another part of this paragraph is reliance upon their things human. I thought, you know, if I had the perfect counselor that would help me, if I had the right doctor that would help me, you know, or the right pills or the right sponsor in this program, you know, I had some celebrity sponsors and they couldn't get me clean. Like, what was wrong with them? And at the end of the day, I was like, you know, one really drilled into me that, you know, a human being is not going to be able to help me. Today, God helps me, not another human. You know, I go, sometimes God speaks to me through other human beings, but my first reaction today is to go to God with whatever's going on, because I am convinced, solely convinced, that no other human being is going to be able to solve my food problem today.
Time,
and with
please.
That, I'll pass.
Thank you, Brandy M. Okay, good morning, Nadia B. You're up, followed by Patty D.
Good morning. My name is Nadia B. I'm gratefully recovered in Connecticut, and thank you for hearing my name. The sentence that really grabbed my attention today was, these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And, you know, so I could accept that I was an alcoholic, right, with food, that I am addicted to this substance, but never, the word never, and the word use, I didn't understand, and I didn't understand what it meant, that, you know, what is safely, you know, so for me, when I use certain substance, when I ingest certain substance, I didn't understand that I could not predict with the certainty the amount that I would ingest and when I would stop. It never occurred to me that was, you know, my reaction to food. That was the phenomenon of craving, that I would not be able to stop with absolute certainty, like normal people do when they go out and, you know, have a dinner and they come home and they're full. When I ingest certain substance that I don't even know was there sometimes, or I pretended that I didn't know, I come home and I eat the whole fridge out clean. And I didn't understand that, you know, if that could happen, you know, a few days after I've ingested that substance. And, for me, you know, today, I understand that I will not be able to do that. And, you know, for me, I was thinking how I went through my pregnancy without one craving. And when my sister asked me, well, do you crave any food that are special? And I stopped to think and I said, oh, my goodness, I don't. What a miracle. I could never say that for years. Once I put all those substances down, now I know what it feels like. I didn't know what it felt like until those substances were down. That's why for us, we have to put it down in order to know what it feels like, in order to know what am I eating over, as we like to say it here. And once I form the habit, once I put down the food, right, I will know the discomfort that I never knew before. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Okay, I have Patty D and Jody E, and if you both take about 2.5 minutes, we should be able to hear both of you. So go ahead, please, Patty D. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is Patty D, a compulsive overeater from Matthews, North Carolina. I know this paragraph, I know this chapter really well, at least in my head, but last night I forgot everything. And I think I was kind of overwhelmed with some emotions. My 30-year-old son received his doctorate yesterday, and he had a really tumultuous teenage time. We almost lost him to suicide. And it was overwhelmingly gratifying and wonderful to see this brilliant young man achieve this goal. And at the same time, I was really sad because my dad passed away when he was a teenager, and so my dad didn't get to see this goal achieved, and he loved him so much. He loved my son so much. So I had these emotions, and I felt so unsettled, and I didn't know what to do with them, so I went into the pantry. After being abstinent for almost 2 weeks. So this disease is really awful. And I'm learning that I need to take these emotions to God and not to the food. And I'm still learning it, and I still need to learn to lean on my fellows. But I'm getting there. So that's all I have to say today. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Patty D. Okay, Jody E., go ahead, please. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for your service. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in California. Well, I can also concur with everything I've heard this morning. I am one of you. I, too, cannot safely use my alcoholic ingredients in any form at all. I want to focus, though, on this part about how our problems pile up on us and become astonishingly difficult to solve. That was my experience. As long as I was eating or dabbling in my alcoholic foods, my problems did pile up on me. And they did become astonishingly difficult to solve. As long as I'm in the food, I cannot effectively deal with my problems. Because every time I try, I get derailed. I get distracted. I get sabotaged by my addiction. And I return over and over again to my alcoholic foods, and they keep me confused. They keep the lenses in my glasses fogged over, and I can't really see the problem in its true light, and I cannot solve my problems. But once I put down the food and begin to work these 12 steps, I can see again. I can see what's really going on, and I can begin to solve my problems with God's help, and as a result of working these steps, as a result of recovering. And that is the beauty of recovery, is to feel that I'm on a path that really leads somewhere, and that I can help others to also turn their lives around. So that's the part of this paragraph that I'm really noticing this morning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody E., and thank you everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to everyone on Team Friday today, Pam M., Martha Z., Julie E. B., Brandy M., Jordan L., Kaylee R., and Betsy H. Thank you for your service this morning. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Brandy M., would you please read a vision for you?
It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God keep you, bless you, and keep you until then.